Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello everybody, this is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. I have a local Christian radio station here that I have a program on, and each week I do a different message for this local program, and this is this week's message. So if you're a Christian watching this, or if you know somebody who is, please share this message with them and put your comments and questions below the video. Thank you for checking it out, and here it goes. Hello everybody, this is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the radio show today. The name of my ministry is Torah Life Ministries, and several of you on a Christian radio station might be thinking, isn't Torah a Jewish thing? Why is this fellow on a Christian radio station giving this message? And I'm here to let everyone know that the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Often Christians come up to me and they say, where can I get a copy of this Torah? I said, well, it's in your Bible. And they said they didn't know that. I said, well, it starts in Genesis. It's the first five books of the Bible. And so it goes to Genesis, it goes to Exodus, it goes to Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So those are the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And why that is so important is, translated, what it means is, or the idea of Torah is, it's the guidelines and instructions of our Creator that He gave us. You see, every single one of us is a sinner. And just because we've been freed from death row by the blood of Yeshua Messiah, the one you call Jesus, does not mean we're no longer sinners. We're still sinners. What happens when we accept Yeshua as our Messiah is something has to change. Our heart. Our heart changes. And we no longer enjoy our sin. But we still struggle with sin. Because we struggle, our flesh struggles with the sin. And when we can be listening to the Rahadak Kodesh, the set-apart spirit, it helps us to avoid the struggle of dealing with sin. But we're still sinners, so we need the blood of Yeshua Messiah, the one you call Jesus, to save us from the penalty of death that is the result of our sinful lives. So we have this situation where sin is, but no, what is sin is the question. And why do we struggle with it? Well, sin, according to the Bible, is transgression of the Torah. See, in the Renewed Covenant, they call the Old Covenant a schoolmaster. And it says it's a schoolmaster. Well, what does a schoolmaster do? A schoolmaster teaches us. And what do they teach us? They teach us many things. But what does the Bible teach us? The Bible teaches us the will of our Creator, and He teaches us right or wrong, or righteousness versus sin. See, the Bible is a book of opposites. You have good versus evil, life versus death. You have blessings versus curses. You have humbleness versus pride. And you have righteousness versus sin. So sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. We can say transgression of the law, but I don't like to use the word transgression of the law, because when we use the word law, many people think it's something that was nailed to a cross or we're done away with. It's used in a very bad context throughout the Christian church today, because there were two different types of laws that they talk about in the Bible. There was the law that Yeshua Messiah came to set people free from and do away with, and that was the law of the man-made systems and traditions. Back then, it was the systems and traditions of Judaism. And today, we're under a law of the system of Christianity. And we could just switch the word law with tradition, same thing. So that's what Yeshua HaMessiah, the one you call Jesus, came to set us free from. But there is a different law, which is the instructions of the will of our Father. And it's known as the Torah. And that none of us are free from. As a matter of fact, we should use it as our schoolmaster and to teach us what sin is and to teach us how we should be desiring to live. And I say desiring to live because there was only one who was perfect, and that was Yeshua, our Messiah. However, when we mess up, how do we feel about it? That's what it all comes down to. It doesn't come down to if we mess up. It doesn't come down to if we miss the mark. It comes down to how do we feel or react when we do. And the answer, according to the Bible, that says how we should feel, it says we need to turn from that way of living, or that lifestyle, or that thing. And to turn means to repent. That's why when they say, when you accept Yeshua, they say repent and then accept Yeshua, our Messiah. So that's what has to happen first. First, we need to turn. So we're not living a life of perfection. We're living a life of a desire to be the best we can be. And when we mess up, we should love what our Creator loves and hate what He hates. So if we sin, we should hate it so much that it helps us not do it again. You see, some people believe, oh, it's the Rahadak Kodesh that helps us not to sin. Well, we still live in a flesh and there's a battle going on within us. And when we do sin, if we hate it enough, it'll help us not to go back there. And yes, the set-apart spirit will definitely put a desire in us to hate what our Creator hates and to love what our Creator loves. But there's a problem. The problem is there's a system out there of Christianity that's teaching contrary to what our Creator says He loves and what He wants us to do. You see, in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, it gives instructions and guidelines. And there's over 600 instructions and guidelines in this instruction book, in these first five books of the Bible. Every other book written in the Bible somehow or some way is related to the Torah and the instructions that our Creator has for us. And that's why I refer to it as the foundation of all Scripture. And your walk or anything on top of foundation, if the foundation is not solid, everything under it won't be solid. And that includes your walk with Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. So you need to have a good understanding and a good foundation of the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And this is essential for every single person that calls themselves a believer in Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus. So we need to have a good foundation of the Torah to understand what right and wrong is, and to actually apply it, to understand what we should be doing and how we should be living. You see, when Yeshua, our Messiah, died for us and took our place on death row and set us free, we weren't left to go figure things out and that, well, now how are we supposed to live? No. He gave us a book and the Bible. And in the Bible, it tells us what to do and what to not do in our lives, how we should be living our lives. And that's what righteousness is about. So we're not saved by works, and I'm not claiming we are, but what I'm saying is we shouldn't be keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to be saved. We should be keeping them because we are saved, and this is how He wants us to live, and this is what He told us to do. He said, do these things and don't do those things. And when we compare what He said to do to all the man-made systems out there today, you have a bunch of people doing the opposite of what our Creator wanted us to do. And you can see all this from a scriptural standpoint. We could take, for example, the Ten Commandments. And when you really look at the Ten Commandments and you think, why would somebody die for us and give us 10 instructions of what to do and what not to do in our lives? And why is it that most Christians today don't even know what the Ten Commandments are? I mean, if somebody really truly dies for you, don't you think you should go out of the way and or have a desire, if you truly love them, to find out these last 10 instructions? So let's say you're married for 50 years, let's say, and you're completely in love with your spouse, and you write an envelope and they write an envelope, and in the envelope it says, you look at your spouse and you say, if I die before you, there's a paper in here with 10 things I would like you to consider doing. And vice versa. The other spouse says to the other spouse, if I die before you, here's an envelope. It's sealed. I'd like you to open this envelope, and there's 10 things that I've learned in life that I would like you to do. Or you could, it doesn't only have to be a spouse. It could be a father to a son, a mother to a daughter. There's 10 things in this envelope. So let's say the mother says, when I die, because I'm going to die before you, if we go in the normal way things usually happen. You know, here's an envelope of instructions that I found to be the most important things in life. So don't open it. You don't have to open it now, you know, but when I die, open it. And as long as you follow those 10 instructions, your life is going to be so much better off. And so all will be well with you, as a matter of fact. And so let's say the mother dies. So why would the daughter not want to open that envelope? Or if the one spouse dies, why would the other spouse not want to know what the 10 things that that other person had to say? Well, that's what it's like when we do not read our Bible every day, or know that even the Ten Commandments. Now, I remember there's over 600 commandments in the Bible. So our wonderful Creator left us with over 600 instructions on how to live our lives in just about every situation we could ever find ourselves in. And then He gave us a whole bunch of prophets to remind the people of these instructions. And then He gave us a Messiah who came to die for us and lived out these instructions to show us how to apply this. And then He gave us the apostles who were putting into action as well, a combination almost of the prophets and putting this Torah into action as well. And then we have a warning book of Revelation of what's going to happen to us if we do not follow these guidelines and instructions. Why would not curiosity get the best to us and us say, well, you know what? That seems like a pretty important thing to read. I'm going to read them. Or the idea of repentance is to turn, right? So if you call yourself a believer, a true, sincere believer in Yeshua, our Messiah, and you do not know the Ten Commandments, I believe it's your responsibility and should be your every desire to drop just about everything you're doing. Forget about the video games, forget about the movies, forget about the songs and the music, forget about everything, and open up your Bible or go on the computer if you have to and get a list of the Ten Commandments. And now that you have this list, go through them one by one. And ask yourself, say to yourself sincerely, and hopefully you're praying on a daily basis, but, you know, ask yourself and ask our Creator, say, you know, I have this list of things that you want me to do and how you want me to live. And I'm going through this list, and maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you thought something different than it truly is, but maybe you just don't understand what it's asking. Or maybe you do understand, and you just really haven't been doing it. You haven't had that desire. So whichever of those three, you need to turn your ways around. You need to repent, and you need to confess to our Creator that you've been neglecting Him and what He wanted for us. You've taken the death of His Son, Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, for granted, thinking that we're going to have everything that He promised us, but we're not doing what He promised, what we promised Him we do with the covenant. And then you ask our Creator to put this on your heart. And then you start taking action and living it out, because it says not just to know, it says to do. So, you know, faith without works is dead. And your faith is dead if you're not letting it follow up by your fruit. And you're doing things. And it's not about being a good person according to our own ideas. You know, there's nowhere in the Torah that says you're supposed to help an old lady walk across the street. That's not in there. That's just what we're supposed to do. You know, but you know, it gives specific instruction and guidelines of what we're to do with our life. And if you call yourself a Christian, you should know what the Ten Commandments are. At least 10. Like, remember I said there's over 600. And you might be asking, well, am I supposed to keep 600 of these? Or there's actually technically 613. So you might ask yourself, well, am I supposed to be keeping all 613 of these? And the answer is no. They're not all applicable to us today, and they're not all applicable to us in our lifestyle. And what I mean by that is some of these guidelines and instructions are specifically for women. Some of these guidelines and instructions are particularly for men. So if I'm a man, I can't do the ones that are for women. Some of them are particularly for farmers. I'm not a farmer. I can't do these things. And then there are some of these guidelines and instructions that had to do with temple service and temple order. And the temple they were referring to was the temple in the original covenant that was destroyed two times. And there's no temple today, so we cannot do that temple service. So many of these guidelines and instructions we're not accountable to do today. However, that does not negate the ones that we should be doing. And as a starter of point, most churches or most places speak about or have the Ten Commandments. And I will submit to you that the majority of people in the system of Christianity today not only do not know what these Ten Commandments are, but they're certainly not following all of them. They're picking and choosing. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says there's a way before each person that seems right, but ends in death. And sadly, that's what's happening today. People think they're doing what's right, but it's not right. Because when we think about what right is according to our Creator versus what right is according to our ideas, even if we're believers, then we have to measure up what we're doing according to what our Creator says is right. Right is the short word for the word righteous. And if you're sinning, you're not living a righteous life. Remember what we said, sin is transgression of the Torah. Sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Sin is not following all Ten Commandments as much as we can, or at least not even having a desire to do so. Righteousness would be the opposite. Righteousness would be following these commandments and guidelines, having a desire to doing them, to having a big poster on a wall with them, or a big checklist every day that we look at and have we done this every day? Have we been doing these? And measuring that and seeing what that means and not getting confused and missing the point just because a church leader might say, well, we no longer have to do that. And you might say, well, why should I listen to some guy in the radio when I've been going to church and my church leader or my pastor has a degree in the Bible and he's telling me I no longer need to follow these guidelines and instructions. And that is ludicrous. It doesn't matter where somebody went to school. You know, it doesn't matter what they're telling you. We need to listen to the Bible, to our Creator's words. And it says, do not add or take away, but keep these guidelines and instructions. And our very own Messiah, the one you call Jesus, said very clearly in the scriptures, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus? If you love him, you will keep his guidelines and instructions. You will seek to keep his commandments. There are people that died in history over and over again that we would have the opportunity to read the Bible on a regular basis and to be able to read it freely. And there are still people all around the world today that are desiring to have that freedom one day that we have, that people died for so we can have it. So when is the last time you read your Bible out of a Sunday going a Sunday church? When's the last time you opened up your Bible to just read it versus everything else you do? How often do you check Facebook and Instagram every day versus how often throughout the day you open the Bible to look for a scripture? These are things that led us to a place where we don't have any desire to open that envelope that our Creator gave us. And Yeshua said, here, that this Bible is the envelope that I'm talking about. And it's filled with knowledge and information of what we need to be doing as so-called believers and true believers and not be make believers and what we should be doing. Listen, folks, when the Apostle Paul wrote his letters to many of his followers, he called himself a slave for Yeshua, or a slave for Christ. That's what he said. He says, I'm a slave to Yeshua. Now, the concept in the scriptures of a slave is much different than we have the picture of it today because of all of the things that have happened with slavery. But when you look at what the Bible definition of slavery and how it was in the Bible, it was different. It was more similar to a working environment. So you can say that you're a slave to your job, but technically, you know, you're free to leave your job anytime you desire to. And as long as you follow what the boss is telling you at your job, you're going to get some type of reward. That might be your weekly paycheck. That might be your vacation leave. But as long as you follow the guidelines and instructions of the company you're working for and the person that's been put in charge to tell you how to do it, as long as you're following that, you're tremendously blessed. So, you know, we think with slavery, well, we can't just leave when we want and so on. But regardless, if you're not doing the job you were called to do, you're going to miss out on tremendous blessings. And you might call them requirements and say blessings. My job is required to pay me if I do my job. It's not a blessing, it's a requirement. Well, you're required to do something and they're required to do something. Well, when Yeshua called him when Paul called himself a slave for Yeshua, Yeshua died for us so we would transform our lives and be set free from death row, and we would desire to follow the guidelines and instructions that he gave the example in when he said, follow me. And he's known as the living Torah, the living guidelines and instructions of what we should be doing and how we should be living. So we, in essence, need to be a slave to Yeshua, our Messiah. How many of us are being obedient to the words of our higher authority, our power in Yeshua, our Messiah? And he says, no one comes through the Father but through me. Then why aren't we listening to him? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, these are the guidelines and instructions to follow. He said, not one of them are done away with. We need to do them. We need to follow them. We need to live by them. And every single person in the renewed covenant, the New Testament, as a foundation, they lived according to the Torah. When Paul told Timothy, every single word in Scripture is profitable for man, there was no New Testament. He was talking about the Torah. He was talking about the prophets, the original covenant. Now, when you look at the system of Christianity today, for them to itch your ears and try to get an offering out of you, they tell you, we no longer have to do that. That's just a system of things we can never accomplish. Why would our Creator give us things we can never accomplish? Why would our Creator tell us to do something if he didn't want us to do it or didn't think we were capable of doing it? It's ludicrous to think that he would do that. And he gave us a Messiah, Yeshua, to help us when we messed up. That's where the grace and mercy come in. It doesn't excuse us from desiring to fulfill the guidelines and instructions. No, it helps us when we're not able to fill them perfectly. That's what it's for. But so many people within the system of Christianity today, they don't look at it that way. They've been brainwashed, deceived, to think that they no longer are accountable to those guidelines and instructions. And those guidelines and instructions, our Creator says, are connected to blessings. And if you want all to be well with you in the Bible, you need to follow those guidelines and instructions. And the opposite of that are many curses. And it goes through this specifically in the Scriptures. If you follow this, this is what happens. If you don't follow this, this is what happens. And we could just look at how far we've gotten from the Scriptures today, and people aren't questioning this because people aren't reading their Scriptures. We look at the idea of what our Creator told us to eat and what our Creator told us not to eat, and he called it an abomination. And you go to certain churches today, and they're serving the very thing that our Creator told us not to eat. And nowhere did he say, this is just for this time, or don't do this. He said, no, and you can eat this and don't eat that. And it was never changed. And the man-made system of Christianity would try to change things, and they'll do things like put parentheses around words, and they'll add to Scripture. But nowhere in the Bible did it say we're free to eat anything we want, and our Creator's going to call that a good thing. No, he says these things are a curse, and these things are a blessing. And we are free to make our own choice. But based on the choice we make, we have to think about the consequences that come along with that. And so I'm calling on you all as believers to question yourself. Are you a real believer or a make-believer? Do you desire what our Creator desires for us? It says in the Bible, he takes no pleasure and the death of wicked people. He only wants them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. That was in Ezekiel 33:11. He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. Now you might think that doesn't pertain to you because you're not a wicked person. Well, what is a wicked person according to the scripture? It's a sinner. Are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? We're all sinners. And he takes no pleasure in the death of us sinners. He takes no pleasure in that. What does he desire from us? What does he want from us? It says it right there. He only wants us to change or to turn or to repent from our wickedness, from our sin. And for what reason? So we can live. So we can have life. That's what he desires for us. Now you might think, well, we're all going to die anyway, so what's the big deal? He's not talking about a physical life here on earth. He's talking about a spiritual life. He's talking about being reborn, truly being reborn. He's talking about to have eternity with him. That's what it comes down to. And that's his desire for us. He says, know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. Do you know in the Bible it says if you don't follow the guidelines and instructions, you're setting yourself up for disaster. But if you follow these guidelines and instructions, he will give you every single blessing known to man. And we have this great opportunity because we have the words to figure it out. But we need to read it. So are you reading your Bible every single day? Are you following or seeking to understand and remember and follow the guidelines and instructions that our Creator wants us to follow? Are you pleasing the world more than you please in our Creator? Are you fearing the world more than you fear in our Creator? These are some questions you need to consider and ask yourself that you might not have been asked or at least asked anytime recently. But these are the questions our Creator gives us when we read his word and we see this in his word. So I want to encourage you as believers to open up your Bible to the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. And I know it can get a little overwhelming with a whole bunch of names and a whole bunch of different measurements for the tabernacle and so on. But I promise you, read through it, starting in Genesis for the first five books of the Bible. And then in the future, when you read the renewed covenant and you read the writings of Paul and when you read the writings of Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, you are going to have a much clearer understanding of what they're saying and what they require of you to truly be blessed and to truly understand mercy and grace and to truly understand salvation. Because our Creator dying for us is not an excuse to live in sin. Our Creator dying for us frees us from the penalty of death, but gives us another chance to live our lives in a righteous way. What you do with that chance is up to you. So I'm calling all of you to read your scriptures more often and to understand and start with the Ten Commandments, but understand there's more than that that is required of us today. And I thank you for listening to this message today.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Tell only you remain.
I'm coming back to my first love, only you. Sing it up. You're the reason.